what will happen is that that area called the area of the Edomites, which is next to the nation of Ammon and the others, are all called the Great Wilderness. And the area of Mount Seir is a mountainous area. The capital city is Petra, which is an area so rocky that in a certain place, only one man can go through. That is why it's a fortress, very hard to go through, very hard to conquer and attack. And it's in that region that the last day has significance. Because in the book of Revelation chapter 12, in speaking about the nation of Israel, in Revelation chapter 12, the woman is the nation of Israel. The 12 stars in verse 1 represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 2, the child that is born represents both Jesus and the church. It represents both Jesus and the church. In verse 5, a male child that represents Jesus. At the same time, in a sense, it represents the church. There is a complete catching up. And it tells us, war broke out in heaven. In verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 12 begins at the end of the rapture. After the rapture finish, war starts. In verse 7, it tells us there. But finally, when the dragon is overcome, in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, that will take place in the middle of the tribulation. The dragon cast to the earth will take place at a time when the desolation and abomination takes place, where the devil will be on the loose on this earth. See, there are three spheres. The word heaven in the Bible is used quite generally. It's used generally to mean sky. But today, in our English usage, we talk about the area of the spiritual realm called heaven. So we must qualify our definitions. The Bible talks about three heavens. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he know a man who has been up to the third heaven. If there's third, there must be one and two. The first heaven is what we call the sky. The second heaven is what we call the universe. The third heaven is what we officially in English call heaven or eternal paradise. So remember that from the time that Jesus died on the cross, Jesus says the prince of this world is judged and cast out. He said that. Look at the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out. Now what does he mean cast out? Because after Jesus Christ died on the cross, the devil was still around. So what does he mean by cast out? You see, after Adam and Eve fell, Satan took all the authority of Adam. And in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, Satan had the authority of Adam, and he could go in and out in the third heaven to a certain extent, which explains Job chapter 1, how Satan could come right into the presence of God with such audacity. Now God had the power to finish him off, but God respects law. He lawfully gave the lease of this earth to Adam. And Adam yielded to Satan and transferred the authority. Although not willingly, but deceived. Yet it was given. A lot of people lose things when they are deceived. And so from that time onwards, Satan had authority to roam the first, the second, and the third heaven. Then, when Jesus came, Satan is completely cast out of the third heaven. He cannot do what he did in Job chapter 1. He cannot. He has no more entrance with God. He is cast out. And his throne is now based in the first heaven, which we call the sky. And he is limited. But one day, he will be cast out also from the first heaven. He's been cast out from the third and the second. He will also be cast out from the first. Now, in a sense, our definition of first heaven need to be a bit more fluid. Because we do not know the limits of the first heaven. Whether the limits of the first heaven is within the known universe reachable by man, and the others unreachable, we do not know what realm it is. So that means, for those of you who are a little bit scientific, I know, but my mind goes, chuk. If I define sky, then some of you think, therefore if the astronauts pass the sky, the devil cannot go. Logical. So all of us, you don't want to live with the devil, might as well go and build a spaceship, go out and live on the moon. And all I can assure you, you know, that the devil, they will find the devil there too. It doesn't mean when you shoot out from outer space and you're traveling, perhaps man will one day travel and go to Mars and visit Mars. So when they go there, no more temptation. Hey, feels nice. What happened? The devil left behind on earth. Right. So please let me have a fluid definition of the first heaven. By sky, it could include all visible and reachable space to mankind. The limits that God set for man, that man could ever reach. Beyond that could be the other second heaven, which is a, what I call a silence. Why silence? Because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, verse 2, says, it tells us that how by faith we know that God made the worlds. So I only leave it open. We do not know there could be many other worlds He has created. Filled with, I don't know what. Perhaps, those, you know, those four creatures sitting around the throne may have come from one of those worlds where everyone was one of those four creatures. And those were the four top creatures. We do not know, right? These are all speculation. But they are interesting. For those of you who are a bit curious, so I just say all those things, so give you more food for thought. But don't ever say, thus says the Lord from all those things, right? No scripture, no thus says the Lord. But here, we talk about first heaven, which is important. One day, during the tribulation period, in the middle of the 7-year period, 3.5 years, the devil will be cast out from the first heaven on this earth. That's when his fury comes. That's when Revelation 12 takes place. And notice what happened. It says here in verse 14. The woman was given two wings. The devil start persecuting the woman. See, the moment the devil start persecuting the woman who represents Israel, the woman was given two wings. And the woman flew to a place in verse 14 where she is preserved for time, times and half a time, which is about 1260 days. We'll look in that when you study the book of Revelations. And the woman was preserved. It says in verse 14 that the place is called a wilderness. Now that place called the wilderness is the area that we are studying tonight called Mount Seir. It includes Mount Seir. It includes the area of the mountains around Mount Seir. That area is important. Because when the abomination of desolation starts, it's important to the Jews, they must go to the wilderness. It's the only place the Antichrist cannot go. Why the Antichrist cannot go? It's prophesied in Daniel chapter 12 that the Antichrist will not go to Mount Seir. So he, since they say that, he won't go. Say, where is that? Daniel chapter 12. The book of Daniel chapter 12. These are Daniel 11, that's right. Still under the words of Gabriel. The northern king represents the Antichrist. Okay, remember that. The king of the north represents the Antichrist. So he is what he does in verse 41. He shall also enter the glorious land and many countries. Daniel chapter 11 verse 41. He shall also enter the glorious land and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand. Number one, Edom. Number two, Moab. Number three, the people of Ammon. And those three regions, Edom, Moab, and Ammon, are all generally called the Great Wilderness. See, the Antichrist will not go there. Jesus knew it, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. Look at Matthew 24, we use scriptures. Jesus, remember that when the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus, sometimes they refer to the second coming of Jesus to the Jews, sometimes to the church. So you got to read the context. Now this part refers only to the Jews. Matthew 24 says in verse 15, this is only for the Jews. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that's in the middle of the tribulation. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads it, let him understand. Verse 16, don't forget verse 16. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Then he talked about praying that it won't be in winter, etc., etc. Another praying for fine weather to flee in the tribulation period. This has nothing to do with the church, but it has to do with the Jews. It talks about after the rapture, there will be a 7-year period. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will be like cloak. He won't reveal his true self. He will be like the man of peace. And the Jews will receive him as a Messiah, deceived by him. But in the middle of the 7 years, which is after 3.5 years, he suddenly revealed his true nature. And he began to put the abomination and desolation in the Jewish temple. And at that time, the Jews must run to Mount Seir. See how systematic God is. There are certain things that He's bringing forth. That is why in the book of Obadiah, it speaks about how at the end of the wilderness period, where the woman has run to the wilderness, at the end of it, Jesus will come powerfully and establish His kingdom and the millennium reign. Millennial reign. That is why in Obadiah verse 21, it says, then deliverers shall come in Mount Zion. And examining the Hebrew word, in a sense, it can also be translated, then deliverance shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. Jesus Himself will show up. Just as when the Israelite, the Antichrist is about to attack Mount Seir and all this area to get at the remnant of Israel, Jesus will appear in Zechariah 14 and He will stand on the Mount of Olives and He will split into two and He begins His millennial reign. The judgment shall begin. This in Zechariah chapter 14. So we see how systematic it is. The second half has a futuristic role. And it talks about the four things that will take place. The cleansing thing, like we have mentioned, deliverance, holiness, prosperity, which will take place in the last days, and the flame of God coming.
fire of God.
What about verse 1 to 16? How does that refer to the last days?